Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Spark innovation across your federal agency with IT hardware, software, and services from Connection Public Sector Solutions. Your technology procurement challenges will meet their match as Connection's dedicated account managers offer exceptional customer service, and our extensive list of supported federal contracts means you'll always get a price that works for your budget. Learn more about innovation for your agency with Connection Public Sector Solutions at connection.com/fedcontracts.
I'll only be a minute. Come in with me.
What is HomeSense anyway?
Look, outdoor furniture is in.
Hey, that's a great brand.
And it's a 6-piece set. Check out this price.
Are you sure that's not just the table?
No, chairs too. Is this an outdoor rug? It is.
It's nicer than our indoor rug.
Outdoor ottomans, planters, patio umbrellas. Are you seeing these prices?
You save a lot at HomeSense.
This is the year we love our backyard.
Can I say something?
Yes.
I'll get the truck.
And that is why I love you.
Save on outdoor like never before at HomeSense. Discover a store near you at HomeSense.com.
Now we're live, and I just need to do one last thing to make us go live. Now we're live. Jesus, don't be doing that. My ears nearly popped off there. And it's all brutal and that. So, hang on, I've a bit of hair to my eye there. Hang on a second there. I hate not having my hairband. Right, good evening. Welcome along this evening to the Tuesday Club. We managed to turn up and do a podcast this week, which is actually very well. And we've been here since about 12 this morning, and I'm just about finished setting up at the moment. In tonight, we're very cramped in because I've only got three mics because we're on our outside broadcasting studio instead of our normal studio. And I have with me, I've got Paddy Lawson, I've got Andy Young, who asked me not to put the lights on his head because it looked like a big bulbous head. I've got Ragnar Klavan, because he basically doesn't play anymore, and we might as well get his thoughts in the match. And of course, we've Ray Dicko Dickinson. Also, just to point out, Klavan fell asleep during the match on Saturday, while sitting on the bench there, just lost interest in what was going on. So don't expect any reasonable comments coming from him. Of course, the podcast on a Tuesday is brought to you in connection with Redsbet, who is the sponsor for, well, the overall LFC Day Trippers channel thingamajig sponsor. Get on there, they're helping communities with the way that they operate, etc. And if you get on there, you can find us as a club and get on and do your betting through them or whatever, and I think they'll have some special bets coming up, especially with the matches coming up at the weekend and of course into the Champions League semi-final next week as well. So tonight we're going to be talking about the game with Bournemouth. I have to be totally honest with you, I didn't see it. I saw half it last night and then I saw 10 minutes of it again, and then I was sort of half making a dinner and half watching the second half as well on LCTV Go. Unfortunately, that's just life sometimes gets in the way of things, but I do know the lads did watch it. So Andy Young, I'm coming to you for us as resident
game watcher.
I do know for a fact that you haven't watched some of the games and come on here and spoke about the games and pretended you watched the games.
Never. That never happened.
I don't know.
Might happen once.
Right, okay, go on. Andy, why don't you tell us the story of the game?
The story of the game?
Yeah. Why do I just mess around with the phone here and nobody notices, because we're definitely not on camera.
But like, but the whole 90 minutes, like,
well, if you could just sort of fill in while I tried to fix a few things here on the phone.
I watched the highlights on his phone.
I'm just watching the same.
Jesus. I suppose nobody gave a shit about the game, really. It was assumed they'd win. Mm. A lot of talk about resting players. It was a fucking strong team. As you expect, and the bench just looked fairly horrific.
Just obviously the comments coming in. It's handy, so. Right, but so, go on.
In the first about four or 5 minutes, there were several chances, and then the goal came, and I thought it was going to be a row. I thought it was going to be 10-0.
Mm-hmm.
But, you'd have to be happy enough with 3-0 in the end.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was a bit sort of, I guess, anticlimactic, wasn't it, after what had happened through the week? It was always going to be hard to sort of to equal any kind of atmosphere on a European night. So, I mean, there was a few LA, LA, LA shouts, and they just didn't have the same kind of, you know, feel or sound about it, did it? You know, these wins are starting to become a bit routine, which is obviously a great thing, isn't it? You know, Bournemouth never really threatened a whole lot through the game. They had a few chances when we were 2-0 up, but aside from that, we were pretty comfortable. I think there was probably a bit of nervousness at 1-0 that it was 1-0 for so long. Mm-hmm, it was always important to get that second goal. You could see Klopp at times getting animated and getting frustrated. We were having a lot of chances. Salah was actually quite wasteful.
Yeah.
You know, by his recent standards, it was almost kind of back to what he was early part of the season when he was missing a lot of chances. So we could have been out of sight long before we got the second.
Like the fans going through, the players are kind of going through the motions as well. And to be going through the motions but still having a clean sheet and winning 3-0 is unbelievable. Like, you know, that's kind of the standard we're at. And if we couldn't get up for the derby, hardly going to get up for a home game against Bournemouth, and it's like, it just speaks volume of what's going on at the moment. Like, I only had this discussion with someone there the other day. It's kind of been the most enjoyable patch of about like a month of supporting Liverpool. I can remember in my lifetime. Anyway, like, I'll go further.
I would say to you now, this has been the most enjoyable period I can remember since the 80s. And I'll tell you why, right? And this is my logic behind it. Essentially, if you think about the way we played football in the 80s, we were this really attacking, dominant force in English football, right? Mm. And when teams came to Anfield, we expected to win. And we turned them over nearly every time they came to Anfield, right?
Yeah.
Even when Rafa was there, we used to have dodgy results all over the shop at Anfield. I'm not saying losses, but there used to be draws. I can think of Wiggins and Stokes and Burnley. Anytime Steve Bruce turned up in Anfield, he always went off with a draw, right?
Yeah.
Whereas with this team, for the first time I can remember in my lifetime since the late 80s, I fully expect us to win every game when they turn up in now. And that's and I'm not even worrying about us throwing away stupid points. And I don't know how to even react to this.
Yeah, well, if you think about the Champions League win 2005, we finished fifth or something, was it?
We finished outside the top four.
And that was when the top four weren't even that strong.
No.
You know?
Not as strong as now,
so
anyway.
So now we're cruising.
There's only three teams and we still finished outside the top four. That's so
bad. You know, we're cruising into the 70-odd points mark. No problem. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know fucking how many points we had that season, but I'll take a guess at low 60s.
I think it was 58.
Jimmy Choi. All right, for fuck's sake.
As enjoyable as it was when they were going and playing the league games, we didn't have a great team.
No.
Okay, 08-09 was great, but I just think there's something else about this that it's not only enjoyable right now. I think we're all expecting to kick on next season, like fully believing. Like, I know as Liverpool fans, like, we always have a belief that next year is going to be. I never do that, and I don't know anyone that does, but we always, like, because things have been so shit for 25 years or something, you always think next year, you know, like, we kick on a bit more. But now you can fully get behind that idea that under Klopp and the signings you might make, the right signings you might make in the summer. So I can't really remember, like, you know, if you just stand back and look at it, I can't remember a more enjoyable.
Phil is saying there though as well, expecting them to go and win games. It's they're turning up
into third gear and winning games. It's not as if you're expecting them to win games, and they need, like, 13-14, it was going, like, they needed a sway of momentum. They need to be at their best to win every game. This team
turns up for 20 minutes.
Turn up for even, like, once the second goal went in, game over, and even in between that, they were just going through the motions, keeping the ball, just creating chances, as Ray said, Salah was wasteful, but tour gear stuff, winning 3-0, moving on to the next day, it's just happy days.
And some of the things are being put out there, this is a very young squad as well. It shouldn't be overlooked. We aren't looking at a team that's at its peak in terms of age and it's reached its peak. This is a team that really potentially could be there for 5-6 years.
Like our best player on Saturday was our youngest player.
Trent was unbelievable. Yeah. I was just going to say, like, another part of what's so exciting about it is, like, with a goalkeeper Karius now, who effectively is getting his first real chance.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, coming in and being injured, broken hand, then getting a bit of grief now off Sky and all that, wasn't nice. I just completely write that off. So he's improving game on game, making great saves, commanding his area.
See his great save at the weekend?
It looked great until the replay.
I actually enjoyed it more on the replay.
It was like a fish just jumping forward, hands up.
At least he saved it.
It was bad. But then you've Trent, like, he was, it's just great. Like,
two carbon copy assists for the two goals. So the fourth goal, the ball that whipped in, that's a Beckham esque cross.
Yeah, unbelievable. And, like, he's come up from the academy, he's a local lad. It's brilliant, like, to have that back in the team. Van Dijk, obviously, who was the best centre back in the world, and the calmest centre back, the best football playing centre back
ever. Gone.
Brilliant.
Ever. Franco Baresi said that he's never seen. Franco Baresi said he watched all 14,000 hours of him on VHS. In his bedroom eating Doritos, and he said he's never seen a better player than Van Dijk at the centre of Liverpool.
Yeah,
he said Alan Hansen, nobody can even come close to him.
And then Robertson, who resonates everything it is about being a Liverpool player, like, going back
Scottish.
To the 80s. Scottish, obviously.
And a fullback.
It's his attitude to the game, it's how he plays, it's how he's...
He's going to end up a shit pundit, though, isn't he? Yeah. Like, Steve Nicol. Yeah. Like, that's what's going to happen,
he's
isn't
not
it?
The best at doing the interviews.
No, he'll be on Fox Sports.
But he's a good player, and he does all the things, like, as a fullback should do for an attacking kind of unit like that. Obviously, in the midfield, we obviously need to make signings in the midfield, and Kate to come in is mad exciting, and then up the top, like, there isn't a better tree. And, in the world tomorrow, so.
Yeah, I was only thinking today that the whole Keita thing is really, really exciting now, isn't it, to see him come into this squad.
Hopefully
get another midfielder in as well. I think, you know, the likes of Chan, I think we can sort of agree he's gone sort of thing. Yeah. So, but, like, it's not like you get the feeling this isn't going to be a false dawn. Now, whether we win the league or not next season, another thing, but I think we can all be confident that we will be
thereabouts,
and we shouldn't really be in a big battle for top four. You know, that should be something that comes fairly naturally.
After the Spurs game that we got hammered, I think that was one win in 9 or 10.
Yeah,
and for us, the crews from that point to now, to really, for all intents and purposes, crews into the top four after going through that bad spell of form. Which is pretty bad.
Yeah.
1 minute nine, 1 minute ten.
Yeah.
It's shy. And for us to cruise into the top four with that bad spell, it's only a good sign, hopefully, going forward, where we'll obviously have a spell where things don't go right, but if you can limit it to 4 or 5 games.
There's something that sprung to mind watching the game, and look, I won't lie, I don't listen to... I haven't seen any of the talk around the match or whatever, but looking at Mane... And looking at the three that's up front, like, we've seen the comparisons of Firmino to Suarez, right? And we've also talked about Salah's impact. He scored 40 goals this season, right? Suarez didn't do it for us. And Suarez is arguably the single best individual footballer we've had at that club of all time, right? Yeah. But Salah has done something incredibly special.
Yeah.
But you look at Mane, and the thing that struck me about Mane was Mane is an incredibly talented dork out. No, like, the thing, I can't use the
driving mask. How many goals has he got this year now?
58. he has.
He's in the 15 to 20 range.
He's in the 15 to 20 range. He's in double figures in the league. Firmino's in double figures in the league. Firmino's and Salah's in triple figures in the league.
25 total. Do you not think that's down to 40 total?
Is that not down to the management?
But this is what I want to put to you, Paddy. Right? We used to laud Kout for his work rate and his efforts, right? And he was never a regular scorer, but he scored big goals, big games, right? But the three lads that are playing up front, and Mane needs some plaudits as well, because, you know, people were talking about him having a terrible season, yet his numbers are better than it was last season, right? Mm. You look at Mane, he is like super version of Dorkow. All the work rate is there. The effort is never, he never gives up. He never hides. When things weren't going right from him, he never hid in the pitch and he got his rewards for it. Yeah. But he scores on a much more regular basis.
Mm.
Like, we used to laud the effort and work rate that some of the players put in when Rafa was the manager, right? But this is the basic standard that Klopp is expecting of everyone on that team, and that's stunning to me.
Well, I think any game we've been to, Firmino looks half dead at 90 minutes because he's had to run the socks off. Yeah. Like, he's the hardest player to play against any centre half.
It's also hard to keep those false teeth in.
Oh, that way. My future, them yokes. You need a lawyer about it. Anything they want.
Spurs have put in a request to use his teeth for floodlights when the new stadium is. Just going to put a set for me and his teeth in his corner.
But his quality, like any set, like when he plays, he's like a washed up dick. He just doesn't leave centre halves alone. Balls coming in. Sometimes he's not even looking at the ball. He just watches the centre half to try and put them off. Mm. And imagine playing against them and then looking over to the left and there's Salah, looking over to the right and there's Mane. Like, the lads are running all over the shop. Like, they don't know who to follow. And I think for us as fans, it's amazing to watch, but it must be terrible to fucking watch them coming at you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, having that goal threat, the three-way goal threat, is just like something you know, you're going to be scared of.
And Chamberlain's added to that. I know Chamberlain, like, I've seen an interview with Chamberlain the other day and he was saying that since he came to Liverpool, Klopp has told him, I want you to pick the ball up, drive at the goal and shoot.
Mm.
It's something that he said, even at Arsenal, he said, it's not that I didn't get to do it, I didn't want to do it at Arsenal, I never got to do it, but the lads that are in front of me are making space for me to run into and have a shot, and that's what the manager wants.
Yeah, they're occupying the defender so much that it's freeing up space. He can get to play in that.
Yeah.
The more advanced day.
Yeah.
Run a call, he's not a 10.
Well, he's been another player that's come in and went up a level again. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely down to the manager.
The
highly visible. Barry Tuckers has pointed out that we all love a three-way. Just
But getting back to like potential in next season, like this would have been the worst imaginable season, and it would have been so worse to do is have our 90-point season. It's just as well we didn't.
We're saving our 90-point season.
If we had a 90-odd point next season, I can't imagine City repeating this season. I think teams are going to want to get at City next season. They've seen evidence from Liverpool out to get them.
Yeah.
That the team shouldn't have the same fear as they did for the first, like, you know,
25 games.
Teams were shitting themselves. Yeah. Like, if teams can get at them, I'm sure they can lose more games next season. And I mean, who knows? We could come very close next season, and that's what's exciting about it. And like you say about it, doesn't feel like it's going to be a false storm. Like, the real deal. And, making the right signs.
Back-to-back champion, qualifying for the Champions League is
huge.
That's huge. Assist the transfers.
To get to that, and it's not like you fluked. I know Chelsea and Arsenal have slipped up a lot, but it's still the same standard, or it might be even above the same standard, like 70, 76 or 78 points or whatever we're going to finish with. That's good in any season.
Yeah. And City beat us that time. I think City kicked on from there and we kind of had to start again.
We had to rebuild from scratch, completely dismantled any confidence that we had that we were going to be able to be the pacemakers in the league, you know.
Well, they have been quality and they've been relentless and ruthless, and I think that streak is coming into us as well. We start putting teams away 3-4-0, like, why not? I know probably players have one eye on the game next week, but if they didn't at the start of the season, they'd be trying to hammer teams, trying to put them under the sword and trying to get massive game, like 6-7 nils.
On the clean sheets now and all. Like, nobody can say that, there's still this stigma associated with Liverpool that we're shit defending team and that we're going to ship goals, and a 3-0 is never safe. But, I mean, if you take the last 20-odd games, that's not true anymore. Since Van Dijk has come in and since Karius has come in and the kind of unity they have there between Trent And no matter who plays right back,
they look solid.
You can't say they're shit defence. Okay, they're probably not, because of the way we play. We're never going to be the best defensive team in the world.
But we finally look solid.
We finally
look like the lads up front. It's probably a collective thing now. The lads up front are not under pressure to score 3, 4, 5 goals because we might concede 2 or 3 goals. So it like feeds into the whole situation. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so the fact that we were missing a few chances, yeah, there was a few nerves, but we were still rock solid at the back. Yeah. So those chances weren't like the absolute like disaster that maybe they would have been at other stages in the season. So if you've got those two things going, you're still putting the goal, you're still putting 2 or 3 goals in, and you're starting to keep clean sheets, it's a formula for racking up, win after win after win.
There was a question we put to, a statement that I may have tongue-in-cheek put to Jamie after the Man City game, after we were off air last week, and I said that we wouldn't have achieved that result with Henderson in the middle of the park against City. But to be fair, Henderson comes back in at the weekend, and you can see a difference that a natural centre midfielder who can pass the ball makes to that team. The tempo is much quicker. The thing that I really, really liked about, and even when we had a little lull spell in that game, right? What one is that? I don't know whose mic that is. We're getting a funny feedback, just hang on a sec. Sorry about this. There we go. I do not. I'm doing it normally. But the thing that I noticed was that when you look at the games and you look at the way we've played, that suddenly, you look at how Wijnaldum was so comfortable in the midfield at home. You look at how Oxlade-Chamberlain, and listen, I was his biggest critic when we signed, but I'd even admit now, that fella, it looks like it worth the money that we paid for him. He looks a class act. He looks like a player that's developing and blossoming. He looks like a player that if he had been doing this 2 or 3 years ago when he was at Arsenal, like all the talk about going to the World Cup would have been about this emerging centre midfielder who was going to play alongside Dele Alli in the World Cup, and they're going to have this powerful, two incredibly powerful central running attacking style midfielders who can take any team on. This is all. Oh, and I'll bring it back. The credit has to go to Klopp to what he does. And, we've criticised the decisions and criticised some of the things he makes, but he's thrown it back in every single person's face. And I'll even say the Lovren thing. Lovren looked like a busted flush a couple of weeks ago. He's come back in and he's been solid. And I have a feeling Klopp has probably put the arm around and said, look, just horse fucking everything away. Don't try to be smart. Don't try to be quick. Just horse everything away. And he hasn't made a cock up since.
Yeah. Leave the simple stuff to Van Dijk. You're doing a mopping up. Yeah, anything he misses, you step in for.
Just kick it clear.
Yeah,
that's all you have to do.
Don't try and be a hero. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, just do the simple stuff.
I think Van Dijk kind of calms him down a bit. Anyway, seems to anyway. Look,
Xanax calms him down.
We don't know what's getting.
You've been the volume into him before. The match.
Not having a missus anymore has calmed him down.
Even when Van Dijk's not in control, he looks in control. Do you know what I mean? Even when he's reaching the pokeball and he loses it, he still looks in control when he's reefing a player back.
Crystal Palace, the one that he gave away and they get in on goal.
It's mad, like, he's deadly.
Yeah.
We were proper centre half.
Most people come in just whacking away saying we look better now since Chan went. It's the constant Chan in debate. It's like, one week it's brilliant. Who cares at this? I don't care at this point. All I care about is beating Roma over 2 legs in the Champions League and getting another 2 wins in the league, and we can all just go on a massive party then at that stage.
Shani's on his way over now with his bag of cans.
I think we've got a collection of players who you'll miss badly if they're out, like the top three. You've got players like Henderson, Wijnaldum, probably Chamberlain to a certain extent as well, and then Shan, that if they do come and go, like,
it doesn't make a big impact.
It depends if you've got two, if you've got maybe 2 of them out at the same time.
Yeah.
But if you've got 1 of them out, you've got enough to manage there, haven't you?
Like, if Trent was now to play, like, you play Gomez there when he's fit, no problem. When Matip has come in and played alongside Van Dijk, he's been generally good as well. So we have players we badly miss, like Van Dijk, like the top three.
Yeah,
we've got a singular spine at the moment.
So no, just like the point about Chan, like, it's a bit unfair, like, to just say that it's because of Chan. Like, it's not really. Like, if Chan was playing and he was fit and Henderson was injured, people would be saying the same about him. It's just we haven't got that superstar in the middle of the park at the moment, and hopefully we will.
Naby?
Well, would you keep
Naby, baby?
Khan said he was going to stay. Would you keep him?
Yeah, definitely.
Would I keep him? Yeah. If Khan said, yeah, I'll sign my contract and stay.
Would you keep him or would
then
you?
I'd get out, you prick. flicking your eyelids at everyone on all season long.
The biggest thing about Chan going isn't the fact that it's Chan, it's just the money involved.
The free.
Kills now
the
player, yeah. Like a free. You play,
it's not a good look, is it?
Probably
as well,
worth it. $30 million. It does look good. And running a contract down, and it's eating away at me at the moment. Like, I was ranting about it, people are giving it. Like, it's just. There's a massive thing going on at the moment, and it's just beyond belief to me that a player wouldn't want to be part of it.
Yeah. What we're boiling up to, sort of thing.
Like, I'm almost like upset when I'm making all of it. What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
And it's not because like I've anything against them or prefer one player over the other, because it's a toss up between him and Henderson, really. But It's just fucking.
But there's a part that we have to also respect, that the player himself was probably thinking, I've done 4 years in England, I'd like to experience. Like, if he's going to Italy, right, and the money is more or less the same, which I'd be amazed if it is, because Juventus, well, they pay well, they don't pay anywhere near the money that's being paid in the Premier League.
Yeah. Right? If one player on more than 100 grand.
And that's it. So even if Chan went there for a while.
Yeah. Like, Buffon wasn't even on 100 grand a week.
Mm.
No, but Buffon owns Turin now at this stage. Yeah. They just gave him parts for his contract. Stay, but even when he got relegated. But like, my point is, Andy, I get it, but sometimes the player himself just goes, look, I'd fancy. I want to do a stint in Serie A. Juventus are in for me. I've done 4 good years at Liverpool.
No. The good years, 4 average years with a few
sort of highlights.
He has still loads to prove.
Definitely.
As a young midfielder. Like, he hasn't reached anywhere near the levels that the potential coming from Jeremy and all, the way he was talked up.
He's only 24 though.
Another
contract, stay for 2 years and sell him or whatever.
Maybe he feels he's got more chance of shining in Italy, and that football suits him better. Mm. And ultimately, he probably wants to establish himself in that German side as well. So,
and Germany, Italy is closer to Germany, so it's easier for them to see with binoculars. They can look over the Alps with the binoculars.
Sorry, you think it's a logistics decision?
Yeah,
you could drive home.
Exactly. You never see Joachim Lowe heading over to England to watch the matches. He's always going off.
I wonder when his injury cleared up, if there's a Champions League final to be played.
Right, look, the goal, let's start with the goals, because the first goal is immense. The space that Mane makes for himself, I have no idea why the Bournemouth player peels off and lets Mane have 2 or 3 yards. It's a free header, it's a great header, and it's a bullet header. The ball from Trent is just wicked, right? But that's brilliant. But then the Salah goal is stupidly brilliant, right? It's also stupidly magnificent.
Yeah.
It's like the ball is incredible. It's the same ball again from Trent, but is there anything you can't do?
It's a harder ball from Trent.
Because it's coming over his shoulder. Yeah.
It's a harder delivery.
Oh, you heard he's up in the NFL draft. He's like, oh,
it reminded me a bit of the Suarez one against Newcastle. I know that one he took on the shoulder and just went around the keeper. Yeah. The ball travelled that far in the air.
Yeah.
And the header was just to cushion that over.
Speed of touch, just change it. Just
the ball for Suarez that time with Enrique was a bit more of a floated punt.
Yeah.
You know, this like, there was a menacing ball. Like, like, it was either going to ping off his face, out for a kick, goal kick, or God knows what would have happened to us. What he produced from that ball was just sensational.
Yeah.
Madness.
And it's a celebration. I've not looked back to earlier in the season, but is this, he just stands there with his arms out like that, right? Has he only been doing that since the Salah is Life podcast?
He actually has. Since Andy put him on a crucifix.
He just stands there.
He just says, I'm laughing. It was the goal in the end he had on that one. Are they the only two?
There's pictures
of him playing for Roma down that.
Pictures of him just hovering over the world. Just doing it to all the people. Here I am.
I love it.
What must it feel like to be him? you know, could you put it into words?
He is walking on water, isn't he at the
really
moment?
Is,
because he can't do anything wrong. Well, I know he missed a few chances, but sure enough, he still ends up scoring a goal.
He missed loads of chances but starting the season as well. Like, he was scoring kind of one in every two big chances, like, you know.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how many goals he'd have if he took them?
I know.
Do you remember at the start of the season going, Jesus, that was your exact point to say. Imagine if he was scoring even half those chances. He'd already have 20 goals. I think about five or six games in, we're saying he could have 20 goals already. There's no way, like, it'd be great if he finishes up with 15 or 16 because he does miss so many chances.
Yeah.
He's got 40 goals.
Yeah.
He's got 40 goals in the season.
It's absurd.
And he's not a centre forward.
Yeah. He plays very central.
He does play very central.
You know, he gets into more space.
I wonder how teams are going to deal with him next year. Because the only way, normally the second season is always the most difficult for players who have an incredible season.
I think United set up perfect against them. Young and centre-half got very close together and didn't allow him that space in between. That's where he does most damage. So, and I think against United, we didn't get our full-backs forward enough to occupy their full-back and open up the space. So maybe that's how teams will set up against them. Trent has became quite effective against everyone was doubting him and they got targeted after a couple of bad games. Well, a couple of games where he got a bit exposed. He got a bit tighter to Lauren and then he let Sané have the ball but then got out to him and just stood up to him. Like, that seems to be...
Majority, trying to learn the game as well because he is only a young player.
Well, we've been caught a few times, both fullbacks trying to intercept balls where you really should just be letting the opposition player get it. And if you can send them backwards, you've done your job.
We have the area presence.
They've been trying a few times to nick it.
Yeah.
They don't get there, and next thing, Yamal take a touch and he's running in at Lovren.
Shane, on the Salah bit, right? If you look at it, right, in reality, though, even though teams have set up that way or tried to set up the same way United did, as Andy has pointed out, right, very few teams are actually good enough to set up defensively strong enough to prevent him getting those chances throughout a match, and that seems to have panned out.
Yeah, well, like, there's obviously a few things. There's obviously his quality, right? Which is, it's not just, right, we'll set up this way and he's not going to be able to score because he's obviously quality. And then you've other things, as in, like, you have the other two, you have Firmino and you have Mane, who, if Salah is getting doubled up on or whatever, trebled up on, that you can go out to them, they can cause you problems. So it's not as if you've only one fellow up there, right? And if you sort him, like, they're not going to score. Oxlade-Chamberlain has been chipping in with goals midfield because, like, I think Andy said, the three lads have been occupying defenders and holding midfield, so he's getting space. And then hopefully next year, Keita coming in, who obviously likes to burst midfield as well, that's someone else that can come on. So it's not as easy. Obviously, I take Andy's point, a right-footed left foot, and he's cutting inside. You obviously love that. If you're a right-footed left foot, you want him to be coming in onto your strong side. You're happy, but there's a few different factors, and I'm not sure. I know what you're saying, the second season always is the harder thing to do, but I think people have been trying to stop him from a way out, like, you know what I mean, probably since before Christmas, and it hasn't worked. So obviously from our point of view, we'd be hoping that he stays like that.
He doesn't score 40 goals next season.
I guess the concern, isn't it, like, how is he going to perform over the two legs against Roma, having just come from there, you know, that you know, is there going to be any kind of mental aspect to it, you know, will Roma have, you know, some kind of plan for him? You know, that's a bit of a concern because he is, you know, that's kind of something he hasn't come up against really, is it, in terms of it's a different challenge now going back to a club so soon after leaving them. So hopefully that doesn't, but that's a little bit of a nagging concern in the back of my mind.
Can we win the Champions League with him? And the reason I'm asking is, like, I'm looking, there's potentially only one player that has the same influence and impact on a team left in the competition, and that's Ronaldo. That's how good Salah has been for us this season. It's like when the votes come down for player of the year and they're talking about De Bruyne and stuff like this, take De Bruyne out of the City team and City still win the league and are probably still on the same amount of points. Salah out of our team, the goals he scores and the moments he scores those goals have been so critical for us over the course of the season. And even his assists, because we forget as well, the numbers of assists that he's put up as well.
Double figures, isn't it?
It's double figures for assists. It's crazy.
He could actually define a season. Yeah. He actually could, how well he plays in the two legs we get you and in the final. Like, Ronaldo does decide games himself. Like, when Ronaldo turns up at 10 minutes, he can score a hat-trick and that's it. Can Salah do that? Probably so, but you'd have to wait and see. Like, it's a big ask. Like, the biggest ask I think for us at going to Rome is not conceding at home. Like, I think we'll do the business over there. It's at home. Roma are a good side and they're there for a reason. Like, they ship three against Barca. So, but I think we're a lot better than Barca at the back.
I think Barca were pouring up.
Yeah, they went great in fairness. Yeah, they went
Barca's Champions League form this year is a bit of a mystery because they've been so dominant in Spain.
Clinical, yeah.
So clinical.
He hasn't, they haven't rotated, he's flogged them week in, week out to win the league. And Madrid probably
just haven't
given a shit. And then
since a certain point in the
certain season, they're all
eggs. They put all that, they put everything into the Champions League.
The bits I've seen about it, just Barcelona look knackered. Now, the one worry I would have going into that one is Dzeko absolutely pulverised the two, Umtiti and Pique. Gave them an awful time in the second leg. So hopefully Van Dijk will have to be on that game because he's in the Champions League. He got a great goal at Stamford Bridge as well. I think I remember he's been on it. I think from what I've seen in the bits I've seen.
The only thing, Roma have shipped 12 goals in the whole Champions League campaign this year, so we will sort of have to break the mold to go out and score a book.
Is it none at home as well?
They haven't conceded at home. And they haven't lost at home as well in the Champions League. So
that's the challenge, isn't it?
When did we concede in Europe?
Well, in the group stages, it was 16, but we scored 104. Remember, we drew 9-0.
We drew 9-0
with Sevilla, and then we drew 100-0 with Moscow. And then
maybe like, take the Hoffenheim game out of it. Maybe about 4 or 5 goals, maybe.
We could see a 3 in Seville, 2 at home.
Oh, of course,
5,
yeah.
1 against Moscow. Mm. 6.
We've been asked for predictions for what we think next week's Tuesday thing is going. Not going to ask. We're going to be on live next week. And don't know. I think we'll all be here. So, Andy, what do you actually fuck want? Andy, what do you reckon? Do you think we win next week?
Tuesday.
I'm not one of the. Like, I know when the draw was made, there was a lot of people rubbing their hands. Yeah. Like, that's, we're as good as true. But no, Roma are there for their reason. They're a good team.
It's the semi-final Champions League.
And they have their own little Cinderella story going as well, don't they? Like, this is an amazing achievement for them. And, like, if you lose 4-1 in the first leg to Barcelona and manage to get through, you start thinking your name's on the cook, don't you?
Don't forget that they ripped their squad apart. And basically started from scratch with Monchi this year. They sold off nearly all our best players.
And they were in a really tough group with Chelsea and Atletico Madrid, and no one's seen them getting out of it. So there's a lot. There must be a lot of things going on, in their camp, thinking like this. We can turn Liverpool over, especially because they've obviously got the second leg at home.
We've the most clean sheets in the Champions League on being. Blasted with messages here. Thanks everyone on the Periscope telling me all the most clean sheets in the Champions League. I don't think we conceded a goal since Van Dijk scored until the City match.
Well, do you think Real and Bayern would have looked at the draw and they would have been happy with each other instead of one of us?
I think they would have liked Roma, wouldn't they?
I think they would have liked Roma.
Mm. Yeah.
I think we would have preferred Bayern over Real and over Roma. Potentially, we go in as slight underdogs into that game. But I'd say Klopp would have favoured facing Henkes's Bayern team because he beat Henkes's Bayern Munich teams the league before, beating them in the cup games, and I'd say he would have fancied his chances over a two-leg team with Liverpool the way we are. And given that that's a Bayern team that's coming to the end of its life cycle as well, you know what I mean? There's going to be a major surgery done to that Bayern Munich team. So that's it. But I would still fancy Bayern to beat Madrid over the two legs. And I know I was the very one that said the pedigree.
Really?
Spurs have drawn.
Is it over? Is it?
It's over. Yeah, that's a great result.
We're deadly though. we're amazing.
Do you reckon us against Bayern Munich in the Champions League final? Do you fancy that?
Mm. I'd love that.
I fancy any final, to be honest with you.
There'll be obviously playing Madrid in the Champions League final is you know the big time and everything. And but
finals are to be won.
I think
you want the team you think you can be.
I'd say we'd be way better matched against Bayern.
I'd say Klopp would be licking his lips at the opportunity to beat Bayern in a final in a European Cup final
after the Wembley one.
I just win European Cups now all the time,
just by default. Even when they've lost them, they still managed to win them.
Just get up for the crack here.
Such an experience side at that stage as well.
I don't think there's any way Bayern knocked them out. I think that Juventus game will have spooked them big time.
Well, Ramos second is missing, leg. Isn't he?
I don't think it's
about a force leg in the two games because he was standing on the line.
The final is a free hit, that's true. The final is a free hit, lads. No, it's not. It's Kev O'Sullivan. The final is definitely a free hit. Anyway, look, I want to move on because briefly I want to touch on the West Brom game. First of all, West Brom did a great favour to us at the weekend by beating United. In Old Trafford. Imagine
the first game they won since they knocked us out the cup, was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But imagine
all the efforts United put in to beat the City, right? To stop them win the league. And then
we couldn't beat West Brom at home either, though.
The only downside, obviously, of them doing that is the fact that they now come into a game against us with the tails up and probably the crowd, they'd probably turn the crowd around a little bit now. I don't know. I haven't looked
at how he was even managing.
I don't know.
Part time or something.
YTS fella. I don't know.
Slow.
Darren Moore.
Who?
Darren Moore. Darren Moore from Moore Street.
From Ballyard. It's going to have a hit with Gary Breen. If you're wondering where Gary Breen is, he hasn't been on because he's managing West Brom.
But like, have they got any chance of getting out? Like, would they?
No, they're relegated.
Have they a sniff, they like, if they beat us?
No, they're relegated.
They need to win all their games and hope that the team gets a point. They need to win all their games. That'd be quite nice, actually, after some of the shite we've had from them over the years.
Wouldn't it actually be great if we could relegate West Brom and Stoke in the same season?
That would be proper justice there for football.
Literally,
we'd be doing everyone a favour by
West Brom and Stoke. Bang, gone. Good luck to you.
Although we are going to be playing,
but then again, Ings and Solanke are going to be playing this weekend.
And we'll be playing the ladies.
Solanke got his goal last night.
Did he?
Yeah, for the 23s, a penalty.
Jesus Christ. The league games are going to, that Stoke game, like, it's going to be pretty ropey in terms of the side, you would have thought, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Like, do we have, like this, like, next week, do we have an eye on Tuesday? Does Klopp have an eye on Tuesday, going forward?
This Saturday?
Yeah.
Well, if the Everton game showed us anything, I think he's, like, given it's Saturday morning, isn't it? It's an early kickoff on Saturday.
I think you've got to play the percentages, haven't you? Like, with the odds are now stacked well in our favour of qualifying for top four, we've got to get two wins out of four games.
And that's taken into account the fact that we lose to Chelsea.
So if we get a draw against Chelsea, the equation's even more straightforward, I think.
And they play before we face
them. Yeah, they're playing Burnley away Thursday. So things could be really stacked in our favour by the time it comes to Saturday. And look, we've got an opportunity to win the European Cup and we've got to put the majority of our eggs in that basket, surely. You know what I mean? You might not get an opportunity like this for another 10, 15 years. Irrelevant of whether we kick on from here the cards have to fall in a specific way to win the Champions League.
I don't think the players are showing any signs of being tired anyway. And Klopp said a number of weeks ago that this was the team now for the rest of the season. There wasn't going to be any more resting or rotating or anything like that. The end is in sight now.
But some of them are
players. Six, seven games maximum.
Yeah.
And as soon as we qualify for top four mathematically, like,
you don't play anyone. Well, sometimes that disrupts
Salah
the
Salah might want to play.
If we win our next two games, right?
Yeah.
The Champions League for next season is done.
Yeah.
There's no qualifiers. There's nothing. You're straight into the group stages, right? So you're looking at, you're saying West Brom, and I'm not saying But I don't think you can necessarily do what we did against Everton, which was just like more or less rotate as many players as possible out of the team.
Yeah,
now, we were suffering with injuries and stuff like that.
Because then you've got Chelsea as your next league game, and then you could be heaping the pressure on to yourself for the Brighton game the week before potential Champions League finals.
Whereas if you beat West Brom, McGregor with a reasonably strong side against West Brom. Like by all intent, like I'd say, if he wants to give Ings a run out as opposed to say Salah or Mane or something like that, you'd say fine, right? If he's going to give Milner a run over one of the lads in midfield, you'd say fine as well.
Yeah.
You'd probably play Oxlade and Wijnaldum because the two of them look like they need to have runs of games.
Well, Wijnaldum definitely needs
and he's been and he's improved. Players, yeah. To be fair, since he came back into the side. He started off slow, but he was very good against City away in the second half. He was very good against Bournemouth. He just controlled everything that was going on. So just keep that momentum there. Keep the continuum going. And then you've got Henderson then ready for your leg. And we all know Henderson needs a bit of TLC and Cottonwood wrapped around him at times because of what it is. But a Milner, Oxlade, Wijnaldum midfield against West Brom, you'd be confident of being able to compete with them. And then at the back, like Matip's out for the season, we can't really rotate much at the back. Do you give Clavin a game?
I think you give this fella a chance at some point.
Do you want the match?
I'd love it.
Just enjoy
it. Love again.
You love again about
love
it.
Again.
He wants to get his Premier League runners up medal, doesn't he? You know?
Yeah.
Well, you play Cloyne.
Fair.
Yeah.
You wrap up
training.
Play Moreno. I'd have no issue playing Moreno.
Play Moreno.
I know, yeah. He's gone back into his.
Which I think is a real obvious one. Like,
yeah.
He did.
You just don't want. I suppose, like, you don't know what way Robertson is, you know, and Salah is in training. Like, they might just want to play every game.
Well, he did say that, but I don't know whether it was before the Everton.
Is that because like he's scared Robertson will go on the gargle or something?
Well, no.
What
you've got to remember about Robertson is if you're talking about the total number of games he's played this season, he's only played what, half a season.
His
leg shouldn't be gone because he didn't play. He barely played first half of the season. Robertson.
Yeah, that's a good point.
He did say in a press conference as well that he wants rid of him.
Yeah,
he said, "Look at." Klopp said something along the lines of, look, it's not a case that you take 10 out, put 10 in, and then expect when you put your first 10 back in that everything, he says, you need rhythm.
Same with the keeper, same with Van Dijk.
They kind of did that, like there was wholesale changes.
And the
nil
odds, right?
Although, would you give Ward a run instead of Karius just to protect him for the game?
No.
Karius,
there's no point. There's probably no other player in that team that really needs the games.
And
like,
form.
He's
keep the form up.
Momentum with him.
Yeah.
Like as we were saying earlier, like he's really getting his chance now and he's taking it.
Yeah.
Like if this had been Karius Park more, everybody raving about him.
Yeah.
Everybody saying he's a real find. Only people have witnessed.
I don't. The breaking of the hand thing for a goalkeeper is a bigger injury than people were giving credit for. Like if that was like centre forward breaking his ankle or whatever, you know what I mean?
And all sorts of forgiveness. I think people got carried away with the Sky lashing. It's not fucking on, like, you know.
Sky lashing.
Yeah, just stupid that Liverpool fan would get on board with that.
Hang on a second. We
still talking to his teeth when he has to. Save against Everton.
But Andy, we did a live gig here and. Anyone that was here that was still sober at that stage that can remember it, right?
Remember
it was vividly. Just there was knives out for like as soon as somebody mentioned Karius.
Yeah,
I mean people were more enraged at the idea that Karius would be number one.
Yeah.
Than anything else.
Was it James at the time? He got awful stick. I think one of the lads came up with saying about Binnen Mignolet and giving Karius a go, and there was he's just as bad and all this sort of stuff. And it was actually like,
fights,
you know, punches. Like, and we're not talking
chips.
About chips. You know, I would hear this from, I'm not talking about sort of, you know, fair weather fans or whatever. I'd hear this from like, season ticket holders going every game.
You're
absolutely convinced that Karius was absolutely
I have to ask this question. You've been a scouser, right?
Yeah.
Why don't you say going to every game? Why is it always going every game? Why do you lose the two?
I don't know. Never even thought about it.
If you go to the game.
Go to the game.
He goes the game. His opinion counts.
if you go
to the game, come on, he says.
If he says go,
don't worry about him.
Are you going to the game? Your opinion don't count, mate. Fuck off.
Well, does that not show us again that like it's Klopp has said, this is a keeper that I'm bringing in. Give him time because all the stats show that I think he was the best keeper behind Neuer in Germany.
Yeah.
And
a Guardiola. That's a massive Guardiola, but totally not a Klopp doesn't look at that. Look at Chamberlain's stats, see what he's like.
It's bored with him.
Robertson as well.
That's same in the Opel lab.
They have the little computer section.
Yeah, the
fucking bunker.
But that's not that long. That's not that long ago that Carragher was in the studio. It was after one of the games.
What happened to Jamie Carragher?
He just basically straight out.
He's not a goalkeeper, more or less.
Mignolet is better than Karius. Yeah. Just sitting there going, you're not been watching Mignolet for the last fucking 3 years.
Is anyone missing Carragher, by the way? It's brutal, isn't it? That business TV.
I swear to God, I gave up watching punditry and post-match analysis ages ago. Like, and I just don't care.
Sick of them now. Like, I think it's...
Alex, the onus is great.
Disgrace. Obviously, Tyler and Neville's just gone back to, like, he's slipped back into that mank that we hated. And I hated the way he dragged Carragher down that rabbit hole with him. You know, that Carragher felt his need to
follow.
Very critical of Liverpool.
Mm.
And the way they went on about Karius was not short for disgrace, because they definitely wouldn't do it if that was a young old English goalkeeper.
Yan Jansen. I actually prefer NBC, because like you get a different take on the game.
Steve Nicol.
Andy Robertson.
But even
Paul Brennan, when I was talking, like he can't basically, neither of us can stop watching the MLS supporters. That video of them just outside the ground.
He's a wanker.
Not even the referee's a wanker. The referee's a wanker. The referee, and it's outside the ground.
The referee hasn't even made the decision yet.
I know.
He ran out of his car, for fuck's sake.
He's like, what did I do?
No, I'm not even a wanker.
And being Al Jazeera, because literally I have no understanding what they're saying, because it's all in Arabic. I have to ring Grizz and get him to translate it for me.
Does Grizz know that?
Anyway, bring it back onto football. Now, on the theme of singing, I'm going to game next week. I just can't wait for the whole atmosphere of it all. Obviously,
what about the bus?
What's
going to happen with the bus?
Andy got to go and do the damage for the quarterfinals, and I'm hoping they come up that same route again.
I think Conor McGregor with you with a trolley.
Shawnee and McGregor over there waiting for the bus.
Shawnee with the card, box of cards, but launching out the window.
Like this, I never really went in for the whole, like, you know, sort of
fanboy
bus thing. Yeah, with the last time we were doing it a few years back when 13-14, when it was kind of being done for every league game, basically up to the point, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I just can't wait to get involved in, to get in the middle of all of that. Like, I'll be down the Arkles early doors, 4 or 5 o'clock, waiting for it to all build.
Are you going to buy a half and half scarf?
No, I'm not. I've not got involved in one of these LAs yet, so I cannot wait to get in the middle of it.
Here, come here. Did you see, I have to say, have you seen the video of Klopp on it? What makes us Liverpool?
The part 2 thing that was launched today.
Yeah. Did you see it?
Yeah.
It's the best ever. Huge, mad German.
Yeah.
The cup.
You know what?
The cup.
I watched that and, like, I was...
You cry?
I was buzzing.
I was choking.
Doing the choky thing,
you do when
you're really
going to
start getting emotional.
There you go,
man. And I thought, like... Nobody's going to like this because it's real LFC family. Like, but when I kind of went back onto Twitter and just retweeted it, everybody's into it.
Yeah. It's really.
That was good, yeah.
I was laughing at it.
Yeah. You're laughing at it.
Well, that's your way, isn't it?
I am fair cynical, but like, I did enjoy it.
Yeah.
It was like, but I was laughing at it mainly because it's the best way to get Klopp to do it with the biggest German accent you can find, right? Mm. And it's just doing like, we are Liverpool. The cup.
when he was waffling along,
he
said, he says,
Andy Robertson,
the show, the Shanks, and he says, we're not, it's not a manager, it's a custodian,
guardian.
We are a guardian, or something like that. And for a second, I went, that's not Klopp. I don't know why, I thought it was just going to be someone in German doing it at the end. Because, you know, like, he was talking about himself, you know. At the same moment, the Shanks and we are good. Yeah. So I thought it was a big joke at the end.
Did you? Yeah.
Just a German bloke.
Your man off Gogglebox.
Yeah.
Ralph. Yeah.
What the fuck is this shit? right. Anyway, look. Predictions for Roma. West Brom.
Oh, West Brom.
2-0 or something like that.
It's not the same crack without Pardew. Go on, Paddy.
2-0. Danny Ings. Slanky.
We never win 2-0.
We never win
2-0. Never. Not anymore.
3-1.
Are you getting a game?
Yeah.
Up top.
Going the game?
Right side of the game. Right side of the back three.
what score do we say? 2-0?
Yeah.
I'm actually going to change my mind to
1-0. 1-0?
Yeah.
That'd be a rarity.
Yeah.
A very big rarity.
I think they'll just score a goal and then just...
Just stop playing. Just walk off
for the rest of the game.
Just get clocked.
That's actually not a bad show. Yeah. You're not having it, thinking about it, like, for West Brom with the game Tuesday.
Interesting.
Probably will be just get a goal and then try and see the game out.
1-0.
1-1.
1-1. Ready to go.
I think 1-1. Yeah.
Such a buzzkill.
I just think
everyone's head's going to be on.
No, I can. Yeah, I think I can see West Brom scoring. Probably first, and then we'll get the equaliser. But there's going to be one eye on Tuesday. I can't see them putting 100% into the game. I really can't.
That's normally when we come a cropper.
Yeah.
And we've said it at times through the season when it looks like we just think that we turn up to win the match. It's always
It's a difficult thing to manage now, isn't it? Klopp said it, I think, in his interview that, like, you know, with the all the euphoria of getting through against Man City and the draw, and everyone thinking we're practically in the we've got one foot in the final. Like, to come back to Anfield and play a game against Bournemouth was difficult for them, and I think the same's going to ring true when you're only 3 days out from a European semi-final. Mm. You're not going to want to get injured. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. You. So as much as you might want them to go out there and win 3-4-0, I just can't see it happening.
I think we're going to tank them
1-0.
No, I think we're going to put 8 or 9 past them.
Yeah.
I genuinely think we're going to put 8 or 9 past them. I think they're going to just come up. I think their little tails are going to be up after beating United last week. There's going to be a sense that they can do something, right? They're going to come out and come at us, and Mane's going to score 4 goals.
15 minutes will probably be important because they won Sunday, and the crowd will be up.
Crowd will be, come on, boing,
Chris
down.
Chris whipping balls into the box.
Bouncy, down. Bye-bye.
As well, though, like, you know, the travelling cup, they'd be having a crack.
West Brom have employed Pardew. You know,
away game before.
Allard. No, we haven't had Allard.
Champions League game.
Pulis.
Jesus. Look at the list. Roy Hodgson. Right, they've employed all these people that are just despicable, right? And like,
was Pulis managing them the first time he played them, or was Pardew already in at that point?
Pardew was already in.
Was he?
Yeah. He's just come in.
We're just thinking, like, have we played three different managers?
Pulis is just paired you with a hat on.
Right,
are you really finished?
Yeah,
there's two things.
Okay, go on.
The new jersey that's leaked.
Rotten.
That's ridiculous. Carry on.
Ridiculous. Carry on.
I hope they don't wear that
with the collar and all.
Yeah. It's a shockingly bad jersey.
Yeah. If we get to the Champions League final, we have to wear the orange jersey. Simple as that.
Well, I agree with you.
You do know they did the draw, didn't they? So we're away. So if we play by Munich, we wouldn't be playing in red. They did a draw straight afterwards.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure.
One side is the away.
Yeah.
One of the teams, yeah.
Oh, one leg is the away leg and the other leg is the home.
No, he drew the ball. They said semi-final number one and semi-final number two.
Oh, you wore orange against Arsenal.
We can wear orange against Bayern Munich.
Yeah.
By decree. By decree.
That would be brilliant, wouldn't it?
We
wear orange in Rome?
No.
No, we wear the white and green.
No, we have to wear the white and green in Rome. Because they're too close to our red.
Yeah, they've got orange in the kit
and they've orange.
Yeah. 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 Red, like
well, unfortunately, the free hit designation committee advised that orange was acceptable against Bayern Munich's red and blue.
That'd be lovely, isn't it? Because we've got a good record in that kit as well. Yeah.
Just the Dutch teams don't really perform in finals.
Neither do club teams. Euro 88.
The other thing.
Go on.
Did you see the Inter players wearing?
Yeah,
wearing their hats.
The tag.
Yeah. Fantastic.
It's just crazy carry on.
This is disgusting, isn't it?
I think that might be the end of football.
What was that? I missed that. What was it?
They put their, instead of like having their name in the back, they have their
at Ray.
Andy, one last thing. Do you think that this is all being lined up? Is there a good chance that actually there'll be a nuclear holocaust before if we get to the Champions League final?
Yeah,
it just seems to be heading that way. It just looks like we're going to win a league again. World War III is about to break out.
I was only saying a couple of weeks ago at the City game, like when we went 3-0 up, but I started to believe that this wasn't happening. I barely celebrated the tour goal. It's getting out of hand.
It wasn't real life.
Something bad's happening.
We're going to wake up here or something bad's going to happen. Oh shit, like I'm in trouble here big time. Yeah. We can't have nice things. I wouldn't rule that out at all.
Yeah, I think we're done.
Yeah.
I literally think we're done.
Yeah. So would you take a Champions League the end of May, then just coming into June?
End of the world.
Game over. Would you take that?
I think I need the league.
Can we get through the transfer window?
If you offered me next year,
I'm not looking forward to the transfer window.
I love World Cup transfer window because every single day.
Just get the studio finished and then it'll be.
Shut up, Shane. Clavo, shut up, revealing the secrets. Anyway,
did you notice the boards pecking on the roof?
No.
There's boards building nests over there.
Right, anyway, we'll talk about this when I wrap up. As we talk about the end of time, I'm going to wrap it. We are out of time, literally and figuratively. Hopefully, we get to the Champions League final. We might just get the full 90 minutes to win it before Putin and Trump start throwing nuclear weapons at each other. With that, can the whole world just live in peace and happiness and forever be
allow us good things?
Yeah, allow us good things. If South Korea and North Korea can get together for the Winter Olympics, surely. Andy, turn that camera back on. I'm in the middle of a diatribe again. War III. I'll write you back. Yeah, so well, fuck that. No, start war. I'm pissed off now because the camera went off. It's after ruining my
soliloquy.
It did ruin my flow. Anyway, look, big thanks as ever to JK Stoutmans for letting us do the podcast here of a Tuesday night. We are back next Tuesday live after the game itself, and we've already done the predictions for Roma home or away or home, whatever it is, and go back and listen back to the podcast here, the way for us to get people to listen, and then and that's it. So big thanks anyway for staying with us doing it here. Big thanks as ever to Andy Young, to Paddy Lawson, not Sean Lawson, shoulders aren't as big, Ragnar Klavren and Ray Dicko Dickinson
and Ben Spetz as well. Is there going to be any bus specials this coming up this week?
Well, we will be on to the guys from Reds, but hopefully we have a couple of specials for you guys ahead of our pod after the match. So we're going to be live after the match next week again, and hopefully now that we got everything working, we'll be live to do a bit of halftime analysis as well, as when we're tonking Roma 17-0 at halftime. Andy just won't believe it. He won't enjoy it after the first three goes in, the first 10 minutes.
This is real life, Andy. This is real.
It's mad.
This is all mad, isn't it?
Too mad.
So with that, listen, thanks for watching. Of course, we've been the Tuesday Club. I'm your host, Phil Casey. Good night, God bless, and we'll see you again next.
At Capella University, you're in control of your education. With the game-changing FlexPath format, you can set your own deadlines and move at your own pace. The faster you move, the more you save. Visit capella.edu to learn more.
So, let's say you're into yoga or Pilates. Or maybe you dabble in gymnastics like me. Either way, you know being flexible is key to doing what you love. That's why Smoothie King created this stretch and flex smoothie for people like us. With whole fruits and organic veggies, plus type 2 collagen. Make it part of your daily fitness routine to support flexibility and joint health. So try the stretch and flex smoothie in tart cherry or pineapple kale. Order online today for pickup or delivery. Smoothie King, rule the day.
Sports Social Podcast Network.